Hi everyone, and welcome to Bravo and the Brits, the podcast with a distinctly English take on all things reality TV. Hello from the lower level, some might say.
Oh, an iconic line that'll just go down in history, I feel.
I saw there's this really cool Etsy shop called Gold Half Moon Company. I think you maybe sent me one of their things.
Oh, yes, the t-shirt.
Yeah, I really want it. I might try and order one, but I'm just a bit worried with the transatlantic shipping if it's going to be delayed or...
Yeah, it might be worth hanging on till after this is all over, but it's definitely a necessary purchase.
I need it. And then I told you the other day that I spoke to my mum and she made me laugh because they're down in France and they're in the countryside. They're in a nice house, but there's not a lot going on.
Yeah.
So she said, oh, something really exciting happened today. I said, oh, yeah, what's that? She said, well, we were eating lunch out on the terrace and then we heard this sound and we thought it was the Hell's Angels. You know, like the biker gang. And I was like,
well, first thought.
Yeah, that was just the default. Oh, it must be a biker gang, you know, in the middle of the French countryside. The logic. So she goes, yeah, you know, I thought it was the Hell's Angels, blah, blah, blah. But then we realized that it's a swarm of bees.
Oh my gosh.
And so these bees came in this wall. And like the garden's on sort of three different levels. And so they came over the first level and started descending in this wave to the point they had to grab Gucci, the cat, run indoors. And this bees. My mum said it was like a wall of sound. And so they're sitting. And of course, my dad's first instinct is, oh, I need to get a picture. So my dad goes out into like into the bee swarm because he wants to like mark it for posterity. But at this point they're making like in midair, I think they call it like a bee pendulum or a bee pendant or something. Where they all kind of cluster midair and they're all swarming. So my dad goes to take a picture and my mum is like, Michael, what are you doing? And I think he took the picture with flash on, which is weird because it's the middle of the day, but you know, he's just crap with technology. He takes this picture with the flash and it seems to spook them. So all of the bees end up dispersing and they go off in this wall of sound and they go, and mum said they could literally hear them going like down the street.
Oh my God.
So as if that wasn't kind of strange enough, she goes, well, I just think it's very interesting timing. I said, well, what do you mean by that? She said, well, I've only just started reading about alchemy again, so I've just picked back up on my alchemical studies. And the Catholics won't tell you this, but bees actually represent the Pope, and they go around and they collect the nectar of knowledge. So I just think it's very interesting that I just picked up my book on alchemy, and you know, honey and alchemy is very symbolic, and that the bees came to visit me today. So, bees are an omen.
Oh my God, your mum is a national treasure.
She must be protected at all costs. But also, the slightly strange thing that then happened was she started getting really sudden stomach pains, like abdominal pains, and ended up getting referred to the hospital.
No, so
she's okay, but it's nothing sort of sinister, but it was just like a weird
coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, I'm a skeptic, but yeah. I don't know, I'm just gonna blame the bees.
Yeah, the stress of the bees.
Yeah, I think that's
I mean, the swarm of bees on its own is quite a terrifying thing to experience, but I love that she's just like, that's the Pope collecting knowledge from me.
Yeah, she was literally like, you know, they come, they collect the knowledge, and then, you know, the honey, that's like the nectar, that's the condensed knowledge of the world. So, I mean, I learned something.
I mean, I have as well. I've already started my day with a bang now.
I also love, just as an aside, the Catholics won't tell you this.
Yeah. Like the knowledge in the scriptures.
Anything new with you? How are you at this stage in quarantine?
Well, mild food poisoning aside, which obviously I'm furious about, I'm doing pretty well, kind of in that sort of zone now where I was talking to my friend the other day And he was saying he's become like, it's this like genuine boredom, not in that kind of usual way of like, oh, it's not really like, I'm so bored when there's like loads of things to do, in that sort of, I feel like I've exhausted watching TV and tidying and working, and I just feel like there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, I'm really sick of screen time.
Yeah, oh god, same. Like everything I'm doing is literally either in front of my laptop, on my phone, or in front of the TV, and there is nothing else happening around me. Like even when I read a book or whatever, I feel like I'm just like, oh, I'm just filling time until it's time to do something else to fill time.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, I'm coping fine. I'm not, you know, like, oh, I'm so, you know, miserable, depressed, what have you, but I'm just very over it now.
The dogs are good company, though, I'd imagine.
They're doing very well for me.
They are thriving in this.
Yeah, I've got the little Frida the sausage dog on my knee at the minute. She insisted on being here for today's episode.
Oh, she'd have liked this episode. It was a strong
She'd have loved it.
Should we get into it?
Let's get into it. I'm so excited.
Also, there were strong dog grooming themes running throughout, so we'll get to that.
It made me feel like I'm really letting my dogs down because I don't have an at-home groomer just popping by.
You're letting your dogs and your own, what do they call it, like tension knots in your back down?
Yeah.
You don't have a dog groomer masseuse on call? Come on.
Oh, I could just be doing so much better with my life, couldn't I?
So we actually start off in the lower level.
In the lower level.
And they're all sitting on the sofa on the phone to Luann, and it's kind of like a cute little hungover arrangement.
Yeah, you feel like it's kind of like a classic like girls sleepover next morning thing where everybody's like looks a little bit rough and everybody's still in their PJs. Love it.
Yeah, you can tell that they're all a bit discombobulated from the night before, but they're in that very kind of giggly state, but also quite like emotional.
Yeah. I feel like Ramona's been very emotional this season.
Yeah, like, Ramona is definitely showing herself to be human a lot more than I would expect.
Same. I would have thought, especially like in this situation, obviously she got like a little bit sort of teary and a bit emotional, and like even when she was saying like, oh, like I genuinely didn't even think about it that way, and like that's my fault. And I was like, who is this Ramona?
Yeah, because Luann is being so out of order as well. So the fact that she's even entertaining it.
Like this would have been probably one of the few times where old Ramona would have been like, oh, you know, she's just being ridiculous, and I would have actually agreed with her. But now she's like sort of being so self-aware and so sensitive, and I'm like, who are you?
It doesn't suit her.
It doesn't.
I don't love that for her.
No, I don't either. I much prefer the sort of cold-hearted Ramona.
So Ramona and Luann decide that they're going to settle their beef in the most Hamptons way possible.
Of course.
And then Ramona says she wants to bring the girls to Sag Harbor,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is a place name that I really can't ever normalize hearing in my head.
I know, it sounds so unappealing. It doesn't sound glamorous really, does it?
Not at all. And so the girls are recounting Sonia's behaviour to her, and she honestly looks thrilled with herself.
Doesn't she? She looks so pleased that she disrupted that boring ass party.
Just utterly gleeful.
I love it, because like most normal people would feel like a little bit abashed or feel like they're being sort of chastised by the rest of the women. And she was like, just like, oh, great. I'm so pleased I did that.
I think Sonia is completely physically incapable of experiencing shame.
Yeah, she is. It's an emotion that doesn't even register on her radar.
And so Tinsley is still pissed off about the trophy wife comment.
Oh, God, they got like the fact that they got so back into this. I mean, obviously, it sets the tone for what happens later on in the episode as well. But I mean,
she was also doing some more tie dye work.
Yeah. Oh, God, honestly, every time it's just a Tinsley talking head, though, I just can't get past the look.
All it was back, wasn't it, this episode? It was back again.
Why? Like, surely at some point they should have watched that first episode and gone, oh, we really need to re-edit this because that's not good.
Yeah, it's not a look.
No.
And Tinsley then says, I have a lot of different things that I do.
I've got my eyelashes, and then I don't think she listed anything else.
It's just absolutely stunning to me that someone could think that about themselves.
Yeah. I feel like she almost needed a little montage to follow that, almost like the Katie one.
Yeah.
I'm so busy. And then it's just her sighing around the house and knitting.
Yeah, as we discussed, Katie was quarantining
well so before. Long
before anyone else.
Oh, God. But yeah, I feel like Tinsley needed a bit of a montage after that of her just in a tie-dye tracksuit with her dogs, just sort of wandering from room to room in a massive hotel apartment.
Yeah, trying to speak to them in Mandarin. So Leah's just watching all of this in her bright orange hoodie, just like the angel, the perfect angel that she is.
I know, and you could tell that even this instance she was just like, I don't understand these women.
But then, do you know what I loved when she said to Sonia, because Sonia's going, oh, Tinsley, you know, stop being so dramatic, and Leah interjects and says, well, you were upset at the trophy wife comment, and then you said it to someone else who got upset, so you have to understand why that would upset them. She just lays this whole steaming hot load of logic on them.
Yeah.
Renders them all speechless. And then that's where they're just like, touche.
Touche. Yeah, Ramona, that's what touche means. Touche.
When there's nothing left to say, say touche.
And you could tell that there's very rarely in any of these women's lives where somebody just lays out such like inarguable logic like that, where they can't even snap back at it, and they're just like, yeah, I mean,
just hands up.
Yeah, can't even argue with that. Like,
well, yeah, because I mean, they've basically kind of cemented their reputations just feeding into each other's bullshit.
Exactly. And in comes Leah, lays out the logic platter for them, and they're just like, oh, well, shit.
What now?
Yeah, what happens after this?
cut scene to the tennis court.
Yeah.
So then we have the Italiano tennis coach who turns up with the same bob hairstyle that Peter's rocking at the minute.
Is it a thing? I hope it's not a thing.
I think post-quarantine it's very much going to be a thing.
I think so as well. Oh, how disappointing.
I don't know if I prefer that to the shaved moment.
Yeah, I think I prefer a little bit of hair, I think.
Yeah, same. I think so few people suit a fully shaved head.
I do as well. It's such a hard look to pull off.
Can we also both agree that Adriano is for sure escorting in the Hamptons?
Oh, he 100% is. There is not a question in my mind about that.
He is 100% playing the role of pool boy to the money needs and the ignored middle-aged women just dotted across the county.
And I think Dorinda was so spot on the money when she said that Ramona hires things in the very 80s method, where they have to be physically fit, physically attractive, and somewhat competent at their job.
Yeah, I love that. Just go for the attractive go-getters who may very well be willing to compromise their principles to get to where they need to be.
It's the Ramona logic. It's the Ramona hiring system.
And then Luann pulls out the Italian, of course, and she sounds amazing.
I know, and she swans onto that like tennis court, like such an air of grace about her, just like chatting away in Italian, obviously wipes the floor with Ramona in tennis.
Yeah, and the funny thing is as well, Ramona is fully on the charm offensive. She's complimenting Lou's body, and then she decides that she's going to ditch her other girlfriends in Sag Harbor to stay with the ladies.
It's so transparent as well, though. Do you know what I mean? It's not, you can tell it's not coming from a genuine, like, heartfelt place. It's more, I need to get you back in my good books immediately.
Exactly. So basically, funny. You've got two completely different motives, I think, on the tennis court. Ramona is on the court so Adriano has to watch her running around in her miniskirt. And Luann is on the court to kick Ramona's ass.
And it all just culminates in such a beautifully awkward kind of two middle-aged women sort of going at this poor, defenseless tennis coach. I can't believe he so blatantly shot Luann down, though.
He should be so lucky.
I know. He would be lucky more than anything in the world to be with Luann. She can count his blessings.
But What I also love about Luann is she does just go like balls to the wall.
Yeah, she's
like me. I'm not afraid of rejection. He's just like, no, not today. She just like lulls it off. She's like, Dios mío, non è vero. You know? And I really think that more people need to be like Luann in the pursuit of the people they want, unafraid to make a move and then quick to laugh it off if it's a negative response. And I think if more people were like that, we'd have a much friendlier planet.
I 100% agree with you. It was so beautifully styled out by her. It was classic, like, Countess charm, wasn't it? It was like, oh, never mind. Oh, you so hurt my feelings. Then she just swanned off into the house and left him there.
I mean, you'd be so gutted on camera as well.
I know, wouldn't you, to have it fully filmed and aired to everybody. Oh, bless her. She was literally hitting on every man that stepped foot through that house door, wasn't she?
She does. She can't help herself. She's a flirt.
I love that about her, though. I love that just sort of complete ballsiness, total lack of humility or self-awareness or anything. It's just like, I'm going to go and do this and nobody's going to stop me.
I mean, look, she looks better than ever.
She does. She absolutely does. When you compare her to, like, season one Luann, she has flourished.
Yeah, I think so. Her body is insane. The hair, it just works. She brings such a lovely Euro vibe to it, which it makes me feel like I'm at home.
Yeah.
For that reason.
I can absolutely see that.
And then we have a flashback to the night before, because I think we're back now in the kitchen with the girls. Now, I can't believe, I don't know if we spoke about this on the last pod, but the iconic line, I don't need these mansions, I married the bank. She's like, I married the banker. Those are the words spoken of a woman who has tasted pure, unadulterated capitalist power and will never be the same again for it.
She can never go back after that. I think that's possibly why she clings onto it so much, because she knows that nothing will ever rival that.
Yeah, and I thought it was really interesting when they had the testimonial and Leah's proving herself that she can do, like, the witty one-liners and be very, like,
yeah. I hate
this word so much, but spunky. Yeah. But she's also, she seems to be getting a lot of, like, the deeper insight. So she picked up straight away on Sonia's kind of nostalgia and her delusions of grandeur almost immediately.
Yeah, like when she said, she was like, oh, I feel like I know so much about Sonia's past life, but I don't actually know anything about her current life. And I was like, that's actually so true. Like, Sonia just, like, laments on what her life used to be so often that she never really shares anything about what's going on.
I mean, no. It's always just like, oh, well, my daughter's at university, and, you know, it's quite vague. Yeah.
And I mean, it's been, what, 4 episodes now, and she hasn't even mentioned the townhouse, I don't think.
Oh, God, yeah. I almost forgot about that.
I know. How could you ever? But yeah, she's just never mentioned it. It's like, what is happening with your life outside of this little Hamptons bubble that we're currently watching?
Yeah, and when she gets drunk, she gets, like, fun drunk, so she'll talk about men and she'll kind of get all ridiculous, but she doesn't get like Ramona drunk, where she, like, spills out her feelings.
No, and gets all sort of teary and wistful and oversharey. Which I think would be nice occasionally, just a little change of pace from Sonia, but I do also love that we can always count on her to bring the fun.
Yeah, like, a bit of vulnerability would be a nice balancing act.
Absolutely.
And then Tinsley's just croaking away.
With that girl and her voice, I feel like she never ever has a fully functioning voice box.
Yeah, it's her larynx is shot. Yeah.
It's probably all the screaming.
Yeah. That's a very valid point.
Yeah.
Now, there's a bit here that really pissed me off. Dorinda literally offers Lou the frosé. Did you catch that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
So they've made this frosé, this frozen rosé. And Dorinda's like, oh, would you like to try it? To Luann. And Luann kind of looks at it suspiciously and kind of smells it. And then she's like, hang on, isn't there alcohol in that? And Dorinda's like, oh, yeah, there is, sorry. And it's just like, it's frosé.
Yeah, like, it's literally in the name.
I thought that was really naughty, and I can't believe that she wouldn't have clocked that.
Yeah, I can't believe that either. I don't think for a second that she forgot about that. I think it was one of Dorinda's weird little test things that she does. She kind of like, she wheedles a little bit and she comes like, oh no, I know, I completely forgot about that. And like, oh, I'm so innocent. But deep down she knew.
Yeah, she plays the naivety card.
Yeah, all the time.
I very much think that Dorinda is choosing to not see Luann's alcoholism or alcohol problems, because acknowledging it in her would also mean acknowledging it in herself.
I was literally just about to say the same thing. I think it means that she would then have to sort of bounce that reflection back to herself and kind of go, oh, well, if Luann's what constitutes having a problem with alcohol, then I definitely do. So by just not acknowledging it, she's like, she can continue living in her sort of denial bubble.
Yeah, and she kind of says that in the testimonial, where she kind of says, Luann's not got a problem, you know, she just had a hard year and, you know, things got taken to the extreme.
Yeah, and it's like, that's still a problem. You can still have a problem with alcohol, even just, you know, temporarily or just in a year. It's not something that's like deep rooted from when you're a teenager or something.
No, it can come and go.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have this misconception that like to have a problem with alcohol, you have to be like waiting outside of an off license for it to open every day. But a lot of it can be like, you don't want to drink all the time, but when you do, you go like far too far, and you know, you can ruin your life in like a couple of hours sort of thing, and then not drink again. And it's a completely different type of problem, but it's still a problem, which I think is what Dorinda's just blinkering herself to.
Yeah, it's like that binge mentality versus sort of drinking every waking minute.
Yeah, exactly. And I think everybody sort of thinks that, oh, alcoholics are just people that want to be consistently drinking, and it's like, it's not, it's people that just also can't stop or can't moderate their drinking when they know they've had enough.
Yeah,
so yeah, I totally agree with that.
I think just as a style note for this testimonial, I really like that mint green silk pussy bow blouse and the tapestry style jacket for Dorinda.
Oh, I do as well. I think it's really good. It's very chic.
Yeah, and I just think it's so much more flattering, because she's got this other look that's like the cream coloured satin blazer with the Swarovski style necklace.
Oh yeah, and I can't bear that. I'm not much of a cream and diamonds kind of a person.
No, I just think it looks kind of cheap, and I think the rich dark colors actually really work with her light hair and her tan.
I do as well. I think they really suit her skin tone. I also just like that little pop of color, because I think Dorinda's one of these people where she very much sort of just exists in, you know, a sort of cashmere jumper and some slacks kind of a vibe, unless she's going out, and then she goes full housewife with the sequins and the fitted dresses and things. So it's nice to see her have like a little bit of like chic style that isn't like a glam going out look.
Yeah, like this could be workwear.
Yeah, exactly. And you could fully imagine her like running a business in this rather than just like her little slippers.
Yeah, I really like that for her as a look. And then Ramona orders Leah to check the cutlery outside. The girls all tell her off for her tone.
I love that they've all like came to Leah's defense in that, and rounded on her like, who are you speaking to like that? She's not the help.
Yeah, and then the fact that when Ramona gets kind of berated, she just goes back to this super soft, gentle voice, and she's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. She does, and she goes like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, well, you're right. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, Leah, I'm so sorry. And it's like, who? You're not trying to be Marilyn Monroe. Like, who are you? What is your point?
Yeah, she just has to go fully to the other side of the spectrum. And it just comes across as so insincere as well, which I love.
Doesn't it? It's like she has two vocal ranges. It's either this very harsh, aggressive, blunt tone, or this like breathy, like, oh, Mr. President kind of a voice, and there's nothing in between, and neither of them sound very sincere.
No. And then I really enjoyed Leah pulling the respecting her elders card in the testimonial.
It was such a beautifully shady dig, wasn't it?
Oh, you know that's going to piss Ramona off when she sees it.
She's going to be furious, and she's going to try and play it off with good humour, but she's going to be so bothered by that.
And then Ramona decides that she's going to do like a barbecue for the girls. And she does a little aside where she says she misses having a partner because they're just much better custodians of the grill.
This was so classic. And it's like, you have so much money. Hire somebody to grill your food. If you're that bothered and you're that perturbed by the idea of grilling something and getting the smoke in your hair, hire somebody to run your grill for this barbecue. It's fine. We expect it from you.
I mean, I think she's really nailed the area where men really excel in life, which is just cooking meat on a charcoal fire. Almost somewhere else, but in that arena.
I was going to say, it's like, not I miss having, you know, like, someone to share things with, or somebody to have sex with, or somebody to, you know, share my life or life events, or a business partner. No, I miss somebody to grill meat.
I would love someone to be cooking for me.
That would be incredible. Just like wander in, cook you a good meal, off they fuck again.
That's basically the main reason that I'm upset that I'm not isolating with someone. Because it would be really nice to have someone making my coffee in the morning and like making me dinner.
I know. And we used to have that dynamic where Greg did a lot more of the cooking, but since he became vegan, we now just cook completely separate meals. And I'm not gonna lie, I really miss having my tea cooked.
Oh no. Do you not ever cook the thing that you and Greg cook separately?
Yes, we cook separate meals now, because I've tried a lot of the stuff that Greg like makes that's vegan, and some of it's fine, but most of it's just not for me. Like, I'm not a fussy eater, but like, I'm very sort of particular about the way that I like food to taste and food to be cooked and things like that, and it just doesn't do it for me at all. So we're back to cooking separate meals, which this week for me, I've been so lazy, and essentially just every single evening consisted of me making chicken in a sauce in a pan.
Oh my god, I tried these new vegan chicken chunks. It sounds like cat food when I say it like that. From the co-op, but honestly, I think it's better than normal chicken.
Yeah.
And I had them in fajitas. I'll send you a picture of the brand on WhatsApp, because you and Greg should check them out.
Ooh, that sounds amazing. I mean, we literally did that, you know, the full like beige tea that we did the other week. And that was all completely, I fucking love a beige tea.
Oh my god, I want something deep fried. I'm gonna have to get a burger tonight.
Oh my god, honestly, I was literally sat today, and like, I literally hardly ever get like McDonald's. Like, there's not really one near me. And it's just like an every sort of thing to get. And all I've been wanting is like a proper greasy McDonald's burger and like salty fries.
Oh,
I'm like craving it. I'm craving so much like fast food. It's untrue.
I miss grease.
Yeah, I do as well. Like, everything I'm cooking is like with like little local cooking spray and things like that. And I'm just like, no. I need the salt. I need the grease. I need the meat.
Yeah, and actually,
with Greg being vegan as well, like, there's very few places we can order from. So we always just get pizza. I'm like, oh my god, I'm craving a Chinese so much. And he's always like, oh, it's fine. Like, you know, if you want to like order anything, just order something. I was like, yeah, but it feels twice as sad to be like, it's one thing to get a takeaway when you're by yourself. Like, I love doing that. When you're getting a takeaway for yourself and there's somebody else in the house.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Like, it just feels sad.
What's your go-to Chinese order?
Oh, I like salt and chili chicken. Like, you know, when it's like battered though. Salt and chili chicken. And then like salt and chili chips as well, and spring rolls.
I am obsessed with England in that you can get chips from the Chinese restaurant.
Oh, and they're always so good. I mean, they're always like a little bit on the soggy side, but they're so delicious. It's like...
The sulkiness is part of the sales process.
Greg went to Finland last year, and he left on like, I think it was like the Sunday or the Monday, and he'd been gone like 3 hours, and I'd already ordered myself a Chinese. So I was literally just sat on the sofa with like a really terrible girl film on, with like Chinese takeaway like parcels just around me, like living my best life.
That sounds so dreamy. I have to say, Scandi food is not the one. My first boyfriend was Danish, and there was just a lot of fish paste.
Yeah, like, luckily Greg wasn't even veggie when he went, but he was literally like, the food was wild.
Yeah, lots of like heron.
Yeah, they get those weird.
No, not heron.
Herring. I was gonna say, I think even in Finland, I think herons are probably not really the first food group people think of.
No. I'm so ignorant. So the girls are having a late afternoon lunch, or maybe it's like an early dinner kind of vibe.
Yes.
And Luanne explains that she's having some difficulty not drinking around the girls. And I think she needed to put this out there because they're really not being fully supportive. I mean, Luanne is being a knob in ways, but the girls aren't helping.
No, I completely agree. I think it was sort of important for her to explain that to them, because I think she puts on this kind of like stoic face all the time where she's always so proper and she's like, oh, no, I'm fine, you know, and she kind of just gets on with things. So I think it was actually important for her to say, like, I do struggle around you guys. And whilst I don't think like the Ramonas and the Sonias are going to be particularly sensitive, I do actually think people like Leah will probably be a little bit more conscious of it in the future. Like, obviously, the rest of the episode aside. But like, I do think
that like, was so general. Separate to her, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it was kind of, I don't know if it was like an intentional thing that they took it outside when they were that drunk or not. I'm not sure how aware they were of their surroundings by that point. But I do think, like, especially like Leah will probably really respect that. And obviously with Leah kind of being able to pick and choose when she drinks, she'll probably make more of a conscious effort to sort of be a bit of an ally with Luanne in this.
Yeah, and I think Luanne kind of has to spell it out in plain English for them because they don't really get subtlety.
No, exactly. And I mean, these women are all quite self-absorbed, so it's probably not even registering to them that they need to consider somebody else's feelings in this sense.
No.
Like when they couldn't understand why she wouldn't want to come to a wine tasting.
Yeah, just the lack of, yeah, just general awareness.
Yeah.
And then just another style note, because I just have to comment on these things. So Sonia's testimonial look that we've had for a couple of episodes where she's got the dramatic, like asymmetrical orange one shoulder dress.
Yes.
They're literally the worst earrings of all time. They look so cheap. They're like the little silver spirals. They don't even look like something Primark would sell. They honestly look like Claire's accessories. Don't you think?
I was going to say, I've never even really noticed them, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but next time definitely look out for them. But I know exactly the kind that you mean, where they just look like they've basically been carved from wire.
Yeah, they look like me wandering into Claire's accessories in like 2005, 2006, and buying a pair of dangly earrings to wear to the school disco. So I can do the last ketchup dance in some bling.
Oh, I still know that last ketchup dance. I feel like everybody who grew up in the early noughties does.
Oh yeah, my friend actually sent me a picture of him as like a six-year-old doing it in the garden at some party. It was so cute. He's got these tiny little legs and it was like the bit where you've got your hands on your forehead and it's like, I mean, is it Spanish? I think it's a Spanish song, right?
Spanish, yeah. But yeah, it's like such a staple of like every party between like late 90s and early aughts, wasn't it?
I remember my dad came back from a business trip and he got me two CDs, and one of them was Madonna, Die Another Day.
Incredible.
The album, and then one of them was the last ketchup song.
The diversity is amazing.
Yeah, his range is unparalleled.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Oh, the noughties. What a great time to be alive.
And so, Sonia says that they're not a bad influence.
Yeah.
And Luanne actually agrees with her. Luanne's like, no, you're right. It's not you ladies. Which again, feels very like forgiving of her.
It feels very passive for her as well, which is something that I'm not really accustomed to with Luanne.
Yeah, I don't know if she just doesn't want to upset people at that point, or if she doesn't want to sort of guilt them for drinking.
Yeah, she's maybe trying to be a little bit sort of like overly conscious of not making them feel guilty about drinking around her, which I can understand.
Mm. And so the dog groomers, I think then we flip to the next day, don't we? Because then people are wandering around in their sort of pajamas. And
I was going to say, I couldn't tell if this was like the next day or whether they did that classic everybody went for a nap before the evening kind of.
Oh, yeah, it could have been that as well. I was getting a morning vibe from it. I don't know why, but that was just...
Because these ladies do all love to get to like 2-3 o'clock and they're like, I need my nap before the evening.
To be fair, I like that. So I don't actually do a nap, but when I go on holiday by myself, what I tend to do is I leave quite early. So I get out at like 9-10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go wander around. I'll have like a late-ish lunch, and then around 3 or 4 o'clock I like to go back to the hotel or wherever I'm staying, and then I won't necessarily nap because I'm not really a sleeping in the day kind of person, but I'll like put on a podcast or read for a bit or just go on my phone and have like an hour or two of downtime before I go back out for like cocktails.
Yeah, no, I love that as well. I'm always the same, especially when it's like city breaks as well. Like, obviously it's different when it's a kind of like beachy pool kind of a holiday, but especially in city breaks, you kind of get so tired and it gets like 3 o'clock and you just like, I just want to sit for a bit and just like chill and like not take in my surroundings. So I'm the same. Like, I like to go back, like have a little shower or a bath or something, read for a bit, watch a bit of questionable TV.
Foreign TV.
Yeah. I love watching foreign TV. Even when I don't know what's happening in it, I'm just so invested.
Oh, yeah. I love like a soap opera.
Yeah. I remember when I went to Egypt when I was like quite young with my family. I say quite young, I was like 13. And it was like they had like all the Egyptian like Arabic soap operas like playing in the hotel, and I would literally just sit and watch them like mesmerized, like I don't know what's happening, but this is fantastic. Like the overacting and everything was perfection.
I like that, like a telenovela.
Yeah, it was like a full sort of like Middle Eastern telenovela, and it was incredible.
So the dog groomers show up possibly the next day, possibly later on in the day. We don't really know.
Who even knows by this point? At this point, it does feel like these women have been in the Hamptons for a good like fortnight.
But this is why the show is so great, because you just put them in a house, you just riot. There's no like, oh, let's go abseiling or hatch throwing or go to a rage room or go to an escape room. It's just pure organic chaos.
I feel like they flourish much more in just like a single house environment as well.
Yeah, it's that Stockholm syndrome starts to kick in.
I wholeheartedly agree. It was like in past seasons when they went to the Berkshires with Heather and she got them to do all that like orienteering and abseiling and all of that stuff, and you could like look around you, address your peers here. Not one of these women wants to be in a fucking canoe.
Read the room. So the dog groomers show up and one of them looks like, my read on him was like a Swedish aerobics instructor from the early 90s, or maybe like a motivational speaker.
Yes, that was exactly the vibe I got from him as well. Like, was probably very handsome in his time, gone ever so slightly to seed, but in that sort of slightly camp way that you can get away with, I think, when you look sort of Swedish.
Yeah, so maybe he tried out for Eurovision but like just never quite got there.
Had his dreams dashed.
This reminded me of, so my dad used to go to this gym in Brussels, and obviously Brussels is like very Euro, so there's a lot of I guess interesting fitness concepts that spring up, and you know, everyone has like their different workout style in terms of how they exercise. And so my dad for a brief period of time went to this gym, or it was like gym classes, and it was kind of branded as like a Swedish parody.
Right.
I don't actually know what they did. I think it was kind of like aerobics, cardio kind of vibes. Anyway, it was called Friskies and Spetties.
Oh my god. I love this.
Was just like eye rolling so much when she found out.
I love that. It sort of conjures up images though of like those little like brightly coloured nylon running shorts that everybody had like a phase of wearing. You know, it's like tube socky.
Yeah, the like 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to think about that. No. I don't want to know how frisky and how sweaty people were getting up in there, but like maybe it was a gay sauna.
Maybe it was. If no gay sauna has snapped up that as a title, they've really missed out.
But then the other thing that makes me laugh is I feel like Luann is a bit like me in that often her gaydar is quite off kilter. So like, I'm not convinced that this guy was straight. I don't know what you're...
Yeah, no, I didn't get a straight vibe from him. I mean, he could have just been a little bit flamboyant, but I definitely didn't get the straight kind of middle-aged macho guy from him.
No, definitely not. But she is fully convinced. And so she's standing by the kitchen sink in a little kimono dressing gown, offering to hold Marley. She's literally licking her lips as she talks to him.
And this is a woman that has never bathed her own dog. You can tell. There is not a chance in hell that she has had her little Westie in the bath giving him a good scrub. And yet Sonny's still like, oh, allow me to hold the dog that isn't even mine. Oh, and they got splashed. Oh.
Oh no, I'm getting all wet. And so Luann ends up talking one of the dog groomers into getting a neck massage.
I really just don't understand how this even happened. Like, surely this doesn't happen in real day-to-day life.
Again, she went balls to the wall and she just decided what she wanted, what she needed from the situation, and she just pursued it.
Just out and out asked him as well. There was no kind of coy subtlety about it. It was literally just a straight all out, like, I need a neck massage. Oh, my neck is so tight. Oh, I did love Sonia for being like a little bit of a wingman in this situation as well, though.
Oh, and when she says she's going to enjoy it too because she's a voyeur.
Yeah.
You know that Sonia's been in some interesting group scenarios.
I would love to spend even just a day in Sonia's life just to see what happens.
I would love to be on that yacht.
Oh god, all the things that must have gone down in that yacht would make all of the erotic novels just seem like fairy tales.
Yeah, I think it would make us cringe, and I think we're pretty open-minded.
Yeah. Oh god, she's really lived her best life though, hasn't she?
She has. And again, it's like, I get why she's nostalgic. You know, I think the ladies are getting to that age where you are going to start thinking about your own mortality and, like, I don't want to say like die alone, because I don't think it's about that. But, you know, she doesn't have like a partner.
Yeah. And she doesn't, it's not even like she's kind of on the track to finding one. It's almost like she can't find that balance between being really fun and outgoing and silly, but also being a partner or a wife.
I think she needs someone who's going to be like, maybe it's an open relationship.
Yeah, I think so.
Fun outside of that, but then...
To be fair, when she was sort of dating that, was it Harry Dubin?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they probably actually would have been quite a good match.
You know, he follows me on Instagram.
Shut the fuck up.
No. I'm serious, but it's my old Instagram account that I got locked out of because of password issues.
But for reasons unbeknownst to anybody, at some point Vicky Gunwilson started following me on Instagram. And I had to triple check that it was definitely her, like, legit account, and it was. And I don't know why she started to follow me, but she did.
That's so cool. Lisa Vanderpump retweeted me once.
Oh my god, that makes my heart sing.
That was pretty amazing. And then I've sold some clothes to one of the Real Housewives of Sydney.
Oh my god, no way.
Yeah, she bought a load of vintage stuff from me, and I sent her a little like card in there just being like, I love your work. And I think she was like the jeweler, or her family was in jewelry, and she's got this line where she's like, 8 carats, bitch, or something. And I like quoted that in there, and she sent me such a lovely message on Etsy being like, thank you so much for your kind words, you know? So I was like, oh, that was a nice interaction.
That was lovely. Oh, I love that for you.
And she's got such a cool style as well, so.
Yeah, that's incredible. I love that.
Very cool. And so, Tinsley's saying, we're going to have a lovely civilised dinner party.
Yeah.
Really liked that the editors kind of included that just as a nod to the chaos that ensues.
They left it as like a little precursor. How wrong she was.
What did you think of Tinsley's orange look, the little play suit?
I actually didn't mind it. It was very sort of Alice and Olivia-y, kind of, again, that classic sort of Tinsley thing where it's not particularly stylish, but it's kind of not hideous either. Do you know what I mean?
I'm screaming because it's so Alice and Olivia. No, I thought it was flattering. I actually really like the colour on her. I feel like wearing like a bolder colour was quite a nice change.
I did. It was a nice deviation from her usual kind of bold black or cream or navy kind of looks that she goes for. Presumably yeah. sort of strays into like pink territory and in that kind of like little girl bubblegum princess way. So it's nice to see her in a colour that's actually sort of like punchy and interesting.
Yeah, and you kind of forget that she is actually quite tanned, or she's got like quite a good like colour.
Yeah, and it really like really like highlighted that as well, really complimented her.
Yeah, and then I thought Sonia's dress looked very cheap by comparison. It was in that really like overdone palm leaf kind of print.
Yeah, I can't work out how much of the stuff that she's wearing is from that line that she's created.
And Created, strong word.
Just being very generous with my But no, I mean, she keeps like, I keep seeing her post things on Instagram where she's wearing things and she's just like, oh, this is from my Sonia Morgan line. And it's like, oh, girl, they're so bad. There's no like design in them at all.
It just, it feels, again, 2010.
Yeah, very much so. Very bandagey, figure hugging, not the most fashion forward, definitely not the most currently in trend sort of looks.
Yeah, it kind of feels right for Sonia in that they're not necessarily like low end, but it's like something that was once considered cool or luxurious, but has kind of come down a few pegs in the subsequent years.
I know, and she sort of never managed to strike that sort of classic, like timeless look, or really modern and trendy and like on point. She always just floats in this weird like nether region between the two.
Yeah, she does not actually have a great sense of style.
No.
she's similar to Ramona, I feel.
Yeah, well, they've kind of got trapped in this, like, you wear, like, a little satin cocktail dress with, like, some ruffles or some pleating or something and big diamond necklaces, and then that's, like, Upper East Side style.
Yeah, and they don't look bad.
Yeah, but they don't look great either.
No, they don't look, like, on trend.
No, and they certainly don't look, like, as expensive as they could be looking.
Yeah, yeah. And then, oh, Leia's no bra slip dress moment was heavily erotic to me.
I love that as well, though. I love that she like didn't give a shit, like, you know. And to be fair, like, most people, like, if I was just like having dinner with my friends in their house at like on holiday essentially, I'd probably be the same, where I'd be like, well, I don't need to wear a bra, it's just us. Like, I never really wear a bra with slip dresses anyway.
No, it looks so strange if you do.
It makes you look too bulky and like top heavy. So I love that for it. You could tell the women were not on board, but
they're so scandalized by the wrong things, like full blown alcoholism. They don't bat an eyelid, but a bit of nipple. And it's like, oh my God, cover her up.
I do feel like this evening just like so rapidly descended as well.
So at this point, Jeff enters.
Oh.
Jeff looks like the eagle from the Muppets.
Oh, he does. Oh.
And Ramona explains that Jeff makes a very good lasagna and he's a very good pianist.
Yeah, which means she's definitely slept with him and wants everybody to know, but without saying it outright.
a horrific thought. Luann looks stunning in her denim jumpsuit.
She does. That like waist that she has is mind-blowing.
To me, she looked like the female heroine of like a 1970s graphic novel set on a different, sexier planet.
Yes, it was, especially with like a little flicky hair and like, oh, everything was just perfection.
Yeah, it was like Barbarella, but not like too Barbarella.
I was very into this look for her. I was actually looking at that jumpsuit thinking, I wonder where I can find one of these.
So I have a very similar one from Gerard Durrell.
Ooh, nice.
I'm not going to pretend I look anywhere near as good as Luann did. and that I didn't like, Ramona's trousers.
Oh, no. They were like borderline slacks. And oh, she's just better than that.
I think that they're a crime. I think they would be on almost anyone except for maybe Shakira in a music video about sensual Latino lovemaking. Like, no one's going to look good in that, you know?
I completely agree. I just know there's something really weird happening with Ramona's style these days, and it seems like she's really going backwards.
Yeah, it's she's kind of peacocking with her fashion bit. So she's like, oh, I'll wear like a bright yellow dress, or I'll wear gold trousers.
Yeah, but none of them are sort of like stylish or shocking or whatever it is, like statement that she's trying to make. It's like she's sort of half-arsing it, or she's trying to be like shocking and loud with her fashion choices without ever leaving the Upper East Side.
Yeah, I just think the trousers just missed the mark for me.
Yeah, they were not good.
Because I think the fit wasn't great either. I think if they were like cigarette pants, and they were maybe like a chino, and if they were gold but in like a woven like jacquard kind of fabric.
Yeah, it could have worked, but it was just something so odd about the tailoring of them and the fit on them, and they just sort of landed in all the wrong places, and no, didn't do it for me at all.
And then Tinsley's testimonial look kind of gets a bit strange here too. She's got this kind of like Vicky Pollard-esque updo, and she's got this glittery gold dress on. And again, it just makes her face look very harsh and like pointed.
Yeah, I think this as well. And there's something weird happening where it's like Tinsley's obviously, she's not old. And when she's on camera and things, she doesn't look old either. But there's something about her testimonials. Like, I don't know if they're putting more makeup on her or if it's just the hair and the fashion choices, but it makes her look really haggard and much older than she's actually either is or comes across in the rest of the series.
Yeah, it's very, very harsh. And I think why I like the orange with the little like puff sleeves and the sculpt edges, and she had her hair sort of down and loose. And I just think it frames her face a lot better.
I do. And it made her look a lot more like youthful and sort of soft.
And then you know that things are going to start getting messy because the music starts to ramp up to like electronic style techno, and you just have Tinsley's flat voice going, drink, bitch, drink, bitch. To me, it was very like Kraftwerk.
It was. I love that so much. And I genuinely thought they're going to make this into a song. This is going to happen over and over and over again.
I saw someone on Twitter saying they want drink, bitch to be their text tone. Which I liked.
That is so good.
And so Elise from last night shows up.
Yeah, which again, I kind of, they just immediately descended back into this like back and forth again over nothing.
I just don't understand, okay, how these women are able to get back on the wagon so fast.
I don't either.
I honestly had a headache for the entire day on Sunday, not this Sunday, the Sunday before, after I had my Prosecco, and it only disappeared after like a full 8 hours of sleep. And I'm 25.
Yeah. See, I'm quite lucky. I don't really get like hungover per se. I think it's because I mostly drink like spirits and mixers and things like that. So it's not necessarily like headbangery stuff like wine and beer. But I just generally, I'm the same. Like, if I've had, like, a really heavy night's drinking in the way that, like, Sonia did, I'd need, like, a full Sunday that's, like, in tracksuit bottoms with a really big dinner and an early night.
Yeah, like, bed at 9 p.m.
Yeah, like, and I don't know how literally the next day she is, like, slithered into something else form-fitting and is already hammered by, like, presumably about 7 o'clock.
Oh, they are working overtime to get us what we need.
And thank God for them, quite frankly.
So at this point, Sonia starts shoving that bizarre looking vibrator down her cleavage and shouting at Jeff to go and saying, why would you like this guy to the room? You know, literally holding him.
I wanted to die for him at this point. Like, it is so awkward when there's like just one rogue guy there and like he shouldn't be there. And I don't know why Ramona invited him, but it's also that really awkward thing where she said, like, obviously she'd invited loads of people and he was the only one that showed up, which is just twice as uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe that story. I feel like he's her date for the party that they end up
leaving to. I agree, actually. I hadn't even thought of that, but I think you're completely right.
And then the girls decide that they're going to go skinny dipping.
I know. Was Leah the instigator of this? I feel like she was.
I think she was. I think she was. Are you like a skinny dipper?
I've never skinny dipped in my life, but it's not like an aversion to it. I've just never been presented with the opportunity.
Oh my God. I honestly, there is nothing better on the planet. But I remember, so we went on a trip to Croatia with all my like childhood school friends, and like it was like a mixed group of people, but we've known each other since we were 6 years old. And one night we got really drunk, ended up all running into the sea naked, and you know, we were just like having a good time. And then at one point we were like all hugging, and then there was just this like wave of realization that came through us where it was like, oh my God, we're hugging naked. And it was just like, oh, like now we can like never undo this, that this has happened. Just, you know, we're just all like such good friends. And like it was so like not sexy that none of us had even realized. And then just at one point we were just like, oh my God.
I love that. Yeah,
And then I remember we ran back out and my friend like tripped up and ended up like, it's really not funny, but like, so, hit his nose on a rock and then started bleeding profusely, but was also just too drunk to care and was just like screaming naked on the beach and like clutching his face and
Oh my
messy.
God.
Good times.
Good times, great times.
The best of times. So they're going skinny dipping and Leah exactly knows how to get Tinsley like het up, and she's just starts egging her on by saying, this is a fuck you to Park Avenue.
I know, I feel like Leah knows exactly how to push all the right buttons with Tinsley just to sort of like get her to stop being so uptight and like kind of remind her that she's not like in her 60s living on Park Avenue, like her life is not over, she doesn't have to be this person. And like I think at one point she was going like, yeah, fuck Dale, fuck Dale, and it was like, oh, but Dale's a treasure. And I actually saw on Leah's Instagram that she put out an apology, just like, I literally love Dale so much. She's an incredible woman. So I'm so sorry that I was screaming, fuck Dale.
You know what? She didn't actually want to say fuck Dale. It's just like fuck the concept of Dale, you
Yeah,
know?
exactly.
Fuck what Dale represents.
Yes.
Dale is the man.
Yeah. In like a twin set in pearls, like clutching at her chest in horror.
And the other thing that just made me laugh is Tinsley just predictably wearing like the mumsiest bra.
Initially was like, oh my God, has Tinsley actually got topless? And I was like, no, of course not. She's wearing a nude illusion skin colored bra.
I mean, I fuck with that bra stuff,
Yeah.
so I can't say anything.
No, we've all got that bra, let's be honest.
So then Leia kind of fixates on the tiki torches and tries to put them out with the champagne she's holding.
What a waste of champagne when she was just like aimlessly flinging the contents of that bottle at the torches and nothing was happening. It's like you're in a pool of water, use the water.
There are better ways.
I just couldn't get over. She was just like, I hate what they represent. And Tinsley was just like, they represent like a fun time at a party. And she's like, you don't watch enough news. And I still to this point don't know what she's referring to.
That honestly made me scream because Tinsley's like, why don't you like them? And then she just goes, you don't read the news enough. So our new queen has basically decided that tiki torches are emblematic of the ruling class and must be tossed into the proverbial fire for society to heal.
Like, I wish I understood what her thought process behind it was. Like, even in that drunken moment, like, what do they represent? What is wrong with them? What's in the news about tiki torches?
I love it. She obviously, maybe it was like the flames, she was getting like Donald Trump's hair in the wind kind of vibes. I don't know.
I think our analogy from last week is that it was very Lord of the Flies, and I fully stand by that. Primal screaming, javelining these torches through the air onto the manicured lawns of Ramona's summer house.
Just, oh God, utter carnage. I'm trying to think. I mean, yeah, it certainly reminds me of similar sort of house party moments I've been at before.
Yeah. And then I think, was it before or after the Ramona and Dorinda incident when Sonia came and joined them?
Yeah, so at
Think we
first we
had
cut back.
Ramona and Do we have Ramona and Dorinda first?
Yeah, so I think first we cut back to Dorinda, who's talking about John, and she says that she accepted him into her life as a friend and that he's almost like family.
Which all seems very sort of like bland and clinical way of describing somebody who's meant to be your long-term partner.
It was odd.
It was very odd. And I wonder if this is possibly gearing up for like the brief stint where they separate.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Because at this point, Ramona reveals that John has been taking girls' numbers at parties, or she's heard that.
And she did it in the most like classic old school Ramona way, where there was no compassion or no like, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but like, I've heard this. I don't know how true it is. But she was like, well, he's been doing this, you know. Like, she got one up on Dorinda by telling her.
Yeah, and just waiting for there to be an audience, you know, not taking her aside earlier in the day and being like, can I speak to you about something?
Yeah, it's like she'd obviously been sat on that information for a very long time. So I don't know why that was the moment that she chose to do it.
I do think that on like a more personal level, Ramona picks up on that resistance that Dorinda is putting up between her and John and kind of wants her to find someone where she doesn't have to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And especially when the flashback to that scene where Ramona was telling the waiter in the restaurant, she's like, oh, she'll have a new boyfriend next year, I can tell.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Like, just with such certainty.
Yeah, like they'd had like really long in-depth conversations about this and Dorinda was just like, why would you ever say that?
At this point, Sonia just knows that this conversation is not going to go anywhere.
Yeah,
so she just kind of, she's getting restless, you can tell, with all the heavy discussion, and she's just like, nah, fuck this, and she spittles out towards the carnage.
She just has like a nose for where all the best, like the good times are, doesn't she? And you could tell she was starting to get a bit sort of antsy and a bit like, oh, it's a bit heavy and you're kind of killing my buzz, guys. And she must have just heard a distant calling and be like, this is where the party is.
Yeah, it's like a shifting center of gravity, but like,
and I mean, she took no convincing to get that dress off and get in the pool.
Yeah, so
like halfway off before they'd even asked her to join them.
This is where we go to the absolutely bacchanalian scene in the pool. Leah has gone fully native and is now flinging the tiki torches into the bushes, screaming naked.
And I love how quickly Sonia just gets amongst that. There is no discussion, no, what are you doing? She's just like, yeah, that looks like fun. Why the fuck not?
Sonia seamlessly transitions from talking in the kitchen to just starting to run laps around the pool, chased by Leah, pulling her clothes off.
Without so much as like a blink in between it. Like, that was how effortless that transition was.
Her range is unparalleled. And so it just also cuts to Tinsley doing like solo aquatic aerobics and jumping to herself.
Yeah. Just like splashing her legs like she's part of a synchronized swim team. And you can tell that's her comfort zone. She's comfortable enough that she's in her underwear in the pool, which is scandalous enough for her. She doesn't need to be involved in the throwing of the tiki torches.
Well, also Tinsley knows that she's now wrapped up in this metaphor where the tiki torches are like, you know, like capitalist patriarchy. And so she is complicit in that. So she's going to stay in the pool and, you know, she doesn't really muck into a revolution. Like, that's not her bag.
Oh god, I just love it though. I love those like as a three though. I think they're a great little trio together.
Yeah.
Like Leah's managed to loosen Tinsley up to like a sufficient amount, and Sonia's just grateful that she's found somebody that's also as wild as she is.
Yeah, they like the unhingedness of all of them just works really well in tandem.
It sort of gelled together really nicely.
So then we flip back to the kitchen, which again is just so funny because they seem completely oblivious to what's going on outside.
I know, and I'm not really sure how, unless Ramona has the most soundproofing of any household in the world. Like, how can you not swear?
I wonder if the kitchen is on like the other side of the house. I don't know.
But yeah.
So we cut back to the kitchen and she's saying she never understood Dorinda's choice with regards to John. And then we cut back to sort of John being quite rude to her at a party.
And it's like, I sort of understand that obviously Ramona hasn't had the most pleasant interactions with him. But I also just think it's such like dangerous territory to be telling somebody, whether you, like, they're your best friend or not, that you don't like their partner and you don't think they're the good choice and stuff, when they've never made any inclination towards you that they're thinking that. Do you know what I mean? Because then you're always just the arsehole.
Yeah, you really have to. Yeah, you have to like toe the party line a bit, don't you?
Yeah, because it's like no matter what happens, it's either you're then responsible for them possibly breaking up, or you're always just going to be like, they're always just going to know that you don't like them.
It's a no win.
Yeah. And it's always best just to keep your mouth shut unless they kind of open that door first, I think.
Yeah. Ramona likes to get involved with things. Yeah. I think because she's clearly a control freak, you know, and she wants to kind of interject. And I think there's an element of her that's like, but I want to improve their lives. Like, I want them to be good. I want them to be happy. But I also just think she loves to give an opinion.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And an unsolicited opinion as well at that.
And then back outside, Sonia calls Tinsley a Park Avenue wet blanket, which gets her to take her bra off.
Yeah, it does. I mean, these girls really know how to get Tinsley to lighten up, and just how far to push her to make her start to rebel and be like, I'm going to prove you guys wrong.
Yeah. I'm fun. Yeah. God, that was cool. I was trying to summon up like a croak. And then I love the timestamp that tells us that it's literally like 9:40 at night.
This kind of behavior is usually like an after midnight kind of a showing. And the fact that these women have done all of this before it's even hit 10 p.m. is wild.
So Luann wanders into the kitchen to try and explain what's kicking off, and Dorinda and Elise are having like a serious chat about relationships, and Lou is just kind of like clutching her chest, looking around,
yeah,
kind of smiling to herself, being like, what do I do with this information?
I know, you can tell she's like, do I just leave them to cause all the damage? Do I cause an uproar by getting all the other women to go out there and see? Like.
And then Ramona steps outside and she calls the girls Neptune's nymphettes, which was very funny to me. I love that.
I also love that, though. I don't think Ramona was that drunk at that point. So Ramona could clearly at this point see the carnage that was being ensued on her lawn. And at that point, she didn't give a shit. It was only the next day that she was bothered by it.
Yeah, and yeah, so we'll talk about that in a minute. But she also got, like, het up by Dorinda.
Yeah, she so massively did.
And so the girls come inside. They're all, like, damp and wearing their clothes and they've got wet hair. And then Dorinda's, like, body-shaming Leah for having her nipples out, which was also strange. Like, I don't think it's weird to be topless around girlfriends.
No, I don't either. I don't find it a kind of taboo sort of thing. And I find it that very old-fashioned, like, oh, I don't want to see your nipples. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's like, oh, lighten up.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, I get that they're being filmed, but...
Yeah, but if Leah's fine with it, then...
I mean, was she aware of what she was doing at this point? I mean, I don't know.
That's probably quite valid. I think by this point, Ramona had already snuck out for her other party, hadn't she?
Yeah, so I think girls are now all like by herself.
Yeah, she did like a little backdoor boogie and was just like, yeah, I'm just gonna go to this party, guys, bye, I'm gonna leave you all to wreak whatever havoc you want in my home.
Ramona literally just does the most in terms of just sneaking off.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy what she gets away with.
I know, like anybody else, like, it was bad enough when she was getting them to clean up her house, but now the fact that she's literally just abandoned them in the house to go to a party without them is like...
And so again, part of me is like, well, you sort of left and left them to their own devices, so like, you can't get that pissed off
then. Yeah, exactly.
So Dorinda takes Leah into the loose because she's going to cover her up with a little halter neck top.
This is one of my favourite lines of the entire episode. Was when Dorinda was just, you could hear Dorinda going, but why does your vagina have wings? And Leah, just in that sort of guttural primal scream, was like, because it fucking flies! And then just came, like, careering out the door. Like,
I love her so much.
I do as well. She's possibly one of my all-time favourite housewives already.
I know, we're only 4 episodes in and we're already, like, so... So They're having like a conference around the kitchen counter. Tinsley is literally inhaling pasta with her head like almost sleeping on the plate.
I think this is the point where like Elise gets like another earful from Sonia again, which I think is just what sort of triggers all the random screaming.
Yeah, so Sonia brings the accessory comment back up with Elise again. And then Leah tells Sonia that her yacht has quite literally sailed. And then I just loved this exchange in particular. So Leah goes, fuck JP Morgan. And then Sonia goes, give me another one. I'll fuck him. And then someone goes, you're too chic. Give me another one. Fuck JP Morgan. Give me another one. I'll fuck him. You're too chic for that. Like, look at who you're talking to.
That exchange was just phenomenal.
And then Tinsley just starts screaming over all of them, which was happening.
This is when like Leah and Sonia are kind of screaming at each other, but you can tell that neither of them have any sort of aggression. So I don't know why the volume level's where it's at. And just about Leah's like mounting the bench guy, like 1985 is gone. It's like Sonia's response is like, I'm in the blue book. Now I don't know what the blue book is, but it sounds important.
No, I also thought this. I was like, I like the yellow pages, but American.
Yeah, I'm so confused by that. I feel like we need to find out what the hell that blue book is, because she was real proud of the fact that she's in the blue book.
I assume it's different to a black book.
Yeah.
And then Tinsley gets so triggered when Leah's like, don't get all socialite with me.
And then she just got so upset. And then there's just like, everyone was screaming at each other. And then Sonia sort of stormed off mid-thing like, I'm going to the toilet, but like, it's not over sort of thing.
And Leah literally goes to Sonia as she's peeing to sit her down, and there was a hint of sexual chemistry there when she put her up against the wall. I think if they had drank ever so slightly less and been in the same situation, it could have ended in like a proper makeout.
Yeah, I think I 100% agree. I think they were both too far gone for it to even be that, though. They were literally just that sort of sloppy slurring, clutching each other.
Like girls in the club toilets that have never met, but are just like, you know what I like about you? That's your dress. Where'd you get that?
You're too good for whatever you're crying about.
He's not good enough for you. I'm telling you, you have to dump him tomorrow. I will. I'm better than that.
I wonder how many relationships have ended because of other drunk girls in the bathroom.
So many. Like, there's nothing better when you need like a boost to your self-worth than like a stranger in the toilets being like, oh my god, I love your makeup, like how do you get your eyeliner like that?
And it's honestly just so life-affirming, isn't it? It doesn't matter what's going on or what is wrong, that is just the most affirmation anybody ever needs.
The last time I went out in Newcastle, I was trying to get like a mirror selfie with my friend in the bathroom mirror, of course, as you do. Yeah. And this woman was literally like, do you want me to take some pictures for Instagram for you? And we literally did like a little and I was like, I love Newcastle, because a woman's gonna come and be like, let me get this picture for you, I'll give you some options, like.
And I love this, like, getting down on different levels and like different angles, and they're like, oh, should you want from this side? If I get down here, we'll get one here.
Yeah, they make the effort. They're like, which one's your good side? Like, do you want a full length? Do you want a full outfit?
Yeah.
They're asking the questions that men never ask.
Oh, 100%. Every time I've tried to get Greg to take a photo of me, he'll take one singular photo and then be like, I've done it. And I'm like, that's not enough.
Yeah, and it's always at like some weird, like slightly unflattering angle where like one of your arms looks really massive, or
and they always find that angle that you've never actually managed to find yourself before that makes you look truly hideous. And you're like, oh my god, do I look like this all of the time?
That is so true.
And you can never find it again, no matter how much you try.
Yeah, but every time they take one, they inevitably find it.
Yeah.
And then I also love that they cut back to the kitchen counter and Tinsley is just like dead-eyed hanging over the pasta. And she looks like, you know, like when your hard drive is full and your computer just like slows. She looks like her scratch discs are full. She's just like buffering.
I love this though. And I love that she was literally like, just, I don't know, just like so invested in this pasta. And it was like everything had shut down behind her. And all she could think was like, I need to eat everything on this table.
Did you also see someone posted on Instagram? There's a point where they're at the kitchen island and Luann has a sip of wine.
No.
Yeah, so there's literally a moment, and I think it's where Sonia and Leah are shouting, and someone posted it being like, when you're so focused on Leah and Sonia having a screaming match that you don't realize Luann sneaking a thing of wine, and they replayed it, and she grabs some wine from the table and she has a sip.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to go back and watch that.
Go back and watch it, because yeah, this is officially where we as the viewers see her falling off the wagon.
Oh, that's so sad though.
Yeah, it's quite,
I don't understand it though, like even as a drinker, if people were behaving like that around me, I'd be like, I need to drink more heavily to
yeah, it's some semblance of this week. But I also missed it, so I only saw after someone else posted it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna have to go see that. Oh, that's such a shame.
She lasted until episode 4.
Yeah. It's pretty going, really.
Yeah, I mean, considering the content.
Yeah. Although I suppose in theory we've only had a weekend in the Hamptons so far.
Yeah, we've literally had like the catch up.
Yeah.
And then we've had 2 days in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Which again is just showing you like the content of this show. When Vanderpump Rules, you've just got weeks and weeks of different locations and events, but still just nothing to actually get your teeth stuck into.
Exactly. And we're 4 episodes in and we've had literally about 3 days worth of filming.
I mean, I know that we're kind of running to like an hour and a half kind of pod schedule, but I could construct this 4 days.
Oh, same. There is so much to unpack with this entire episode.
So do you have any final thoughts on the evening, or should we go to the morning?
I think we can just go to the next morning now. I think it's sort of wound down after that.
So the next morning we get Leah kind of very sheepishly hanging around the kitchen as Ramona comes down to inspect the damage.
I love that she's just staring at that vibrator in the chicken. I also love that we cracked the code when Elise said that it was Leah that actually put the vibrator into the chicken. Well, it was Sonia that marinated it.
Just to make that distinction, because that's really important.
It is. It's very important.
I mean, so to me, rule number one of any house party, right, if you're staying over, if you're like crashing at the house, is wake up early. Like, get a couple of hours of sleep, wake up early, clean up quickly, and then go back to sleep at, like, 10 a.m., midday, whatever.
Yes.
If you need to. Because the last thing you want to do is wake up at 2 p.m. and then have to clean up. I would rather clean up when I literally feel horrific, I'm probably still a bit drunk, and then go and sleep it off.
Yeah. I'm also, like, a drunken cleaner. So, like, whenever we've had parties at our house for, like, Halloween or, like, Greg's birthday or what have you, I literally, everybody ends up really drunk and sitting in the living room, like, listening to music. And I just kind of wander off into the background and get a bin bag and just start sliding things into the bin bag before I go to bed.
You're clean this now.
I'm literally just like, it's so much better because it doesn't seem as important when you're drunk, so it's fine. And then I wake up the next morning like, oh, I've just got to wipe things down and I'm done. This is great.
That's quite good. So do you do actually quite a competent job of clearing away?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'd be too worried about, like, smashing things and
frisbeeing plates into the bin.
Yeah.
But no, I highly recommend it.
God, remember house parties?
I know. I can't even fathom them anymore.
House parties weren't just an app.
Yeah. The idea of having other people in my house now seems odd.
It's so strange, isn't it? I had the handyman round the other day. Socially distanced, obviously.
Of course.
And I was like, you're the first person that's been in this flat in 8 weeks.
Oh my god.
6-8 weeks, something like that. It was really strange.
We're in week 5 now of official lockdown, but I know you were isolating before that. So
yeah, so I'm about 6.5 weeks in to my isolation.
That is monstrous.
I go through days of like feeling really listless and like restless and kind of frustrated with it, and then I go through days of like feeling okay. So today I feel pretty okay.
Good. Like, glad it's a good day.
Productive and stuff. Yeah. So I've given myself some like very basic things to just do every day, and I'm like, as long as I can tick that off, then I'll feel.
Yeah, like, that's kind of where I'm at as well. I'm just like, if I can do like even just the bare minimum of like get my work done and maybe one useful thing like around the house, whatever, then everything else is a success.
Yeah, I think that's a good like realistic way to just get through every day as it comes and not really think too much about like far in the future.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think when I start to think too far ahead, I just start to like catastrophize. I'm just like, oh, this is just awful.
I know, and I get these like daily apocalyptic phone calls from my mother, who's like, you know, love her to pieces, but you know, oh, this is changing everything. You know, oh God, we thought 9/11 was going to change everything. You know, nothing on this. And it's just kind of like, okay, like, yeah, let's cross that bridge when we come to it, because I can't deal with a whole like societal paradigm shift right now.
That's a lot to deal with.
It's a lot to take on. Anyway. So Sonia and Dorinda are like under the covers hiding from Ramona, and she's finding this very like sweet. She's like barely concealing her smile. She's like pretending to be all annoyed. But then Sonia does try and dob Leah in for the bad behavior.
I know, she fully throws her under that bus, like without hesitation.
She has no loyalty or honor.
Sonia looks out for number one. It doesn't matter what happens in between that.
Yeah, when it comes to Ramona, Sonia will just feed Leah to the lion. I really liked that Leah was in the kitchen and tidying up already and like didn't even quibble and was like, no, I'll sort it.
Yeah, exactly. And like, she did the right thing. Like, she came down, like cleaned everything up and just sort of got on with it. And like, she handled it like appropriately. Like, yeah, she was a bit kind of sheepish and a bit like, oh yeah, that was, you know, out of order for this woman who I've probably only known a few weeks. But then I just feel like Dorinda was the one that was just like, oh, it was nothing to do with me. And then riled her up in the end. And it was like,
yeah, and when they also flash back to Ramona in 2017, like literally ripping sconces off the wall and causing like tangible damage to a property, it's kind of like, right, there's some torches on your lawn, mate.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? Like, it's not that deep.
I did love the very brief interlude, though, where Sonia was brushing her dog with Dorinda's hairbrush. And Dorinda was like, That's my hairbrush. And Sonia was like, oh God, sorry, I just do this at home. And Dorinda was like, that's not how I play things.
Yeah, Sonia worries me sometimes from like a hygiene perspective. Yeah. Like, I'm worried about her right now with COVID. Like, I don't feel that she's on top of cleaning her surfaces. I don't feel that she disinfects her sex toys.
No, she'll be getting all her interns to do all of that.
Oh my God. Oh God, someone said the other day, like, wash your sex toys in the dishwasher. And I was like, that is the worst idea I've ever heard.
It would be horrendous. It would just degrade all the like rubber and things on them.
Well, yeah. And also, just, do you really want to wash them in the same place where you...
No.
Oh, I don't know. I just thought that was awful.
No, but I'm not a fan of that. Just wash them like any normal person and stop putting things in the dishwasher.
I have decided that like I'm not doing any manual washing up myself for like my cooking.
Oh no, absolutely not. Like,
lockdown is bad enough. I'm gonna use my dishwasher every day. I don't care.
Oh, we've literally, since we moved into this house nearly 2 years ago, we've literally, apart from the odd pot and pan, we've just used that dishwasher relentlessly. I will never go back now.
It's such a game changer.
It really is. I can't not use it now.
And so Dorinda goes outside with Ramona and starts like hyping her up again about everything.
Yeah, like she did such a weird flip-flop where she'd been like, oh, Ramona, like, well, you left us at the party. You left us to go here. Like, what do you expect? You ruined my house. You did this. And then walked outside and he was just like, well, this is terrible. This is awful, you know, blah, 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 blah. And
it's like, oh, no, well, this is too much. I mean, yeah, this is like, ridiculous.
It was some tissues and some torches. And I think that was it. And the one solitary champagne bottle just floating through the pool.
I think, again, this is just going back to, like, the tension that she's having with Tinsley and with Leah.
Yeah, and she kind of was like, as soon as it was something that wasn't potentially blamed on her, she was like, yeah, well, this is terrible. Look what these monsters did.
Yeah, it's like an opportunity to kind of dob them in and make yeah. them bad. So then Leah basically says that she doesn't know what came over her. She felt like she was in Game of Thrones.
I love that she's so willing to just hold her hands up low. Like, there was no sort of, like, trying to make excuses. There was no kind of trying to turn it around or take the heat off her or drop anybody else in it. She was literally just like, yeah, I went wild. Don't know why.
She fully went, like, feral.
She did. You could tell she'd been holding that in her for a long time.
It's like when you see a naked flame, there must be like part of your brain, like, I don't know, like deep in your pituitary gland that like activates that like Neanderthal, like caveman instinct to just be like, fire.
<Must smash. laughs>
Make fire fly.
Oh, God. I also love that she never dropped Tinsley in it either. Like, she just fully was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll clean up. Because then it just obviously the like episode finished on that flash to Tinsley, just unconscious in her bed with that, like, must have been like a fourth or fifth plate of pasta next to us.
I have never felt like more relatable to Tinsley than in that moment.
I feel like in that moment I really aligned with her, and it was like, it was the perfect sort of summary of the entire episode to finish on.
Yeah, I thought that was like a great closing shot. And I just think, like, with Leah, with her sort of flame throwing, sort of nude, primitive display, to me, I'm like, yeah, this is it. Like, this is our warrior queen. She's going to lead us gloriously into the Sonia by Sonia Morgan fashion show. And it's just going to be fantastic.
I mean, that episode looks high intensity. There is that scene of Tinsley in that fucking pink princess dress, which I just can't deal with.
She's always got to be in like a frilly tulle moment.
I know. And there's like the big bow accessories and like, oh, it's just monstrous. And it's like, no, we thought you were going down a good path here with your style and you just ruined it all.
Is the Sonia Morgan thing at Fashion Week, in inverted commas?
I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be real Fashion Week.
Okay. No, because you know they have like those fringe events.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very much like you get like the London like Fashion Week Festival, which is like much
like pay to display.
Yeah, I think that's going to be very much it. I can't quite imagine her being front and center of the full official New York Fashion Week, especially not with those dresses.
I have to say, I didn't pay too much attention to the preview, so I'm excited to see.
Oh, it looks good.
We'll have to go into some fashion looks.
Oh, yes. There is a scene just at the very end of it, though, with like preview for next week, and I don't know if you sort of registered it or not, but they're all supposed to be wearing these Sonia by Sonia Morgan dresses, and Leah's is clearly hideous because she shows it to Ramona, who literally pulls the most horrified face. And then Leah just stuffs it into a bag and throws it at Sonia.
No, I didn't see that.
So I think next week is going to be fireworks.
Oh my God, that's good energy. I'm so excited. It's only episode 4. We have so much more of this to go.
Yeah, I can't believe we're only 4 episodes in.
It makes me feel safe.
Same. And like, I feel like now that when like Vanderpump eventually comes to an end, I'm not going to be too bothered because we've got this shining example of what good reality TV is.
I know, we'll have to think of something to cover when Vanderpump ends if we're still in lockdown and still wanting to do it a week.
I'm sure we can come up with something.
We always do like a historical.
Yeah, we could go back to season 1 of things.
Oh my, I'd be so up for a deep dive.
Like a little deep dive recap of everything.
Yeah, and I also feel like with the benefit of hindsight as well.
Yeah, you can see where they've like ended up because of these things.
Yeah, these are all cultural artifacts and they need to be understood in context, you know?
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree.
All right, well, I will leave you to your hopefully beige dinner tonight.
Oh, I'm so excited. Although it's probably going to be a lot of the past.